Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you for being here. Even though we are not, unfortunately, celebrating a Victory Monday, instead, it's a Monday to look back at what a sort of disappointment that Sunday was in a variety of different ways. We'll get to all of that. We will break it all down. As always, I thank you so much for being here. I know we would all rather be talking about a victory and the things that Green Bay did well, and we've had the opportunity, quite frankly, to do four of those in a row, which has been fun. This one's going to be a little bit tougher to kind of grind through and go through and figure out all the mistakes and things that went wrong. I'll be honest with you and up front, the rewatch, not fun. Wasn't any better than what you would probably expect it to be. Sometimes I get to sit here and tell you, hey, you know what? I went through the tape and I haven't gone through the all 22 yet. So fingers crossed, maybe there'll be something a little bit more there. But I went and rewatched the game. It was still really, really bad. It did not get better with age. That is for certain. We'll get into all of that. Let's start with our Luigi's Pizza player of the game. We'll start with something positive here. That was Josh Jacobs. 18 carries, 95 yards, a long of 37. Looked like he really picked up right where he left off after that Jacksonville game from a week ago. I thought he looked fantastic. And I think, you know, really one of the disappointing aspects of this game is that they could not capitalize on Jacobs' success early in the game. And then as soon as Green Bay gets the ball in the second half, they're already down 21 points. Running the ball and featuring Josh Jacobs basically goes out the window at that point in time. So I thought when he had the opportunities, he played extremely well, especially in that first half. Was not his fault. The offense did not capitalize on it. Missed field goals and other mistakes, certainly that surrounded him. But when given the opportunity, Jacobs once again looked fantastic. And again, a really nice 18-carry, 95-yard day for Josh Jacobs. And again, did everything in his power to kind of keep Green Bay, or at least give Green Bay an opportunity in that first half. Unfortunately, those opportunities went squandered. But he becomes our Luigi's Pizza player of the game. Make sure you're checking out those Luigi's frozen pizzas. As I've told you guys a million times before, they are absolutely worth it. They're delicious. You're going to want to check them out. I think right now, the thin crust, the ultra thin crust are still my favorite. But man, the fresh dough ones still absolutely to die for. All different varieties of pizzas. Right now, I'm really liking the ultra thin crust pepperoni pizza. So again, make sure to check those out, but you will not be disappointed. Unlike this game, which is very disappointing. Luigi's Pizza, not just for Victory Mondays either. Sometimes it is self-care Mondays when you've had losses like that and you just need your go-to food. Mine is Luigi's, and yours certainly should be as well. Let's get into this massively disappointing performance. Let me start just by saying this. What I'm most frustrated and upset by is that Green Bay no-showed this game. I mean, they basically no-showed it. That's how I view this. And you guys know me well enough. And like I said earlier, like I would love to come and tell you, you know what, I rewatched it and there's a lot of positives we can take away from this one. Man, this is a primetime game. And this is like the 3:30, the 3:25, whatever it is, prime game. Like that is considered kind of like the game of the week now. Like that is the one that most people are watching. This is a primetime game. Everyone's eyes are on you. It's a divisional game to avoid going 0-2 in the division against a very, very talented Detroit Lions team that's wearing Green Bay sucks shirts to the game. And all the talk was that Detroit only plays in a dome and you're the one that's playing in an outside stadium. You've got everything to play for in this one. This should be a big time get up for this game and put your best foot forward and come out and set the tone sort of game. And they no-showed it. There was no point in time where this was a competitive game. Really once, you know, even like ever since really the drop on the first drive, Detroit goes down and scores the touchdown. It was just a comedy of errors basically from that point forward. There was no point where Detroit was threatened. There was no point where, I guarantee you, Detroit had a plethora of plays and schemes and designs at their disposal that they thought that they would have needed to get to get this victory against Green Bay. Never needed to get to any of that stuff. Never. They were never threatened. They were basically on cruise control through the entirety of this game. And it's not to say that Detroit didn't do some stuff well. I thought that opening touchdown drive was really important for them, converting on a key fourth down, you know, late in that drive. Like, they did some really good stuff when given the opportunity. But once, you know, again, basically once that pick six happened, for sure, like, Detroit was just on cruise control the remainder of that game. And then they go down and score the touchdown on the opening drive of the second half. The rest of the day, they went punt, 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 end of game. Like, they didn't do anything the rest of the game. They didn't need to. That's where this game was. They didn't even need to. They didn't need to pull out anything. They didn't need to do anything special. They pretty much knew by the time they were up 24-3, just don't make a mistake. And, like, I don't think that they necessarily just had that mentality, right? Because if you go to anything of, like, just don't make a mistake, what do? You, like, immediately make a mistake, or you're playing not to lose at that point. I don't think Detroit did that, but they were just very clearly going to play their game, run the football, take anything easy, not take any chances. And they knew that that was going to get the job done. And it very clearly did, because Green Bay could not get out of their own way in this game. Now, as far as the Packers go and how they actually performed and what led to, like, all the issues here, what's frustrating is that this is the same formula that has led them into either poor performances, maybe even some of the ones where they got wins, or the losses. It is self-inflicted wounds. It is a buzzword that you're going to hear from every podcast. I heard it on the news already, on the sports, after the NBC Sunday Night Football game. Like, self-inflicted, self-inflicted, self-inflicted. We're going to hear it all week long. And we've heard it all year long up until this point. That's the biggest thing that's frustrating. If this were, first of all, there's no shame in losing to the Lions, right? Even at home, like, this is a very good football team. If you went out, played a good game, and Detroit was just a better team on any given Sunday, on this Sunday, so be it. There's no shame in that. They're a really good football team. But to play that brand of game where you don't show up and you continue to make the same mistakes that you have done basically all season long and have not corrected them, penalties, interceptions, missed field goals, drops, missed tackles, that's been the formula for failure when Green Bay has not been going well. And there was no sign and no indicator that any of that was really getting any better. All those same mistakes that we've seen Green Bay make through the entirety of this season so far. And I want to be clear. It is not like this is a 3-6 team, okay? They're 6-3. They've picked up some wins. They've fought through some adversity. They've had a lot of, you know, obviously the quarterback injuries have played a huge part in this. You know, weathering Malik Willis, and I don't even know if I want to say weathering because he's played very well, but you get my point. Weathering a backup quarterback for basically three games, and then, you know, other games where Jordan was clearly not 100%, including this one. I think for the most part, they've done a pretty good job of figuring out a way to be at 6-3 at the bye week, all things considered. So this is not some really awful, terrible, bad football team. It's a good football team that continues to want to beat itself more than it wants to beat their opponent, it feels like. And that's why, again, if Detroit just outplays them, again, so be it. They're a great team. I don't think Detroit even had a good game in this one. They were fine. They were fine. Like, what, you know, there's the play to Amon-Ra St. Brown on fourth down. Good play. The play by Jahmyr Gibbs on fourth down. A couple big fourth down plays there. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Obviously, the pick six, Kirby Joseph, that's a big time play from him, but Jordan threw it right to him. You know, so I didn't think Detroit did much heavy lifting in this one. I thought Green Bay was the one that said, hey, would you like this NFC North win and the lead in the division? Because we would love to gift this to you today. And they just did. And that's what's disappointing. And you go back and rewatch the game and you see it all over again. It's play after play, drive after drive. And it was Green Bay beating themselves. And I don't want to take too much away from Detroit and just say, like, this is just, like, clearly Green Bay beating itself, but it was clearly Green Bay beating itself. And I'm not, I won't say this either. That's not to say that Green Bay couldn't have played a much, much better game and Detroit could have raised, you know, like, saw it and raised it, right? Like, they could have easily, you know, countered that as well. They just didn't even need to. They didn't even need to show anything. They were fine with just basically being conservative, taking the easy plays, getting out of Green Bay with a very easy victory. because of Green Bay. And again, same exact issues. And I know in a lot of these situations, what do we say? Just burn the tape. Just burn the tape, move on. No, hell no. Watch the tape. Painfully watch the tape. And then painfully watch it again. Because these are the same mistakes. And if it's not hitting home, if it's not getting through, watch it again. Watch it for a fourth time, a fifth time. Because I get, like I told you, this is a painful game to rewatch. It was a painful game to watch in real time. It was a even more painful game to rewatch. Because you see all the dumb stuff. The bad snaps, the drops in key situations. Another bad mistake by Jordan. You see all of these things, and you see it in a way that, again, is making you question, like, are they growing from this? When you have a young team, there will be growing pains. Period. End of story. Most teams in the NFL, in fact, I would argue pretty much every team in the NFL, maybe the Chiefs haven't had to do it so much yet since they're undefeated, but every team at some point is going to go through growing pains. One of the keys to growing pains is that you actually grow from them. Just going through them, not great, right? Like that doesn't get you to the point where you need to go. You actually have to grow from those growing pains. And right now, I need to see more growth with the mistakes that are being made from Green Bay. That's the big step here. If, and I mean this as if Green Bay does in fact get the message from this game of, all right, holy crap, guys, we've got to clean this up. And there's accountability on it. Everyone takes responsibility and figures it out, and they grow from this. Awesome. That can be a huge step for a young team that, quite frankly, these, you know, teams like this need to go through these games from time to time to figure out where the flaws are, to learn from them, and to grow from them. But I'll say it one more time. In order to actually have a payoff from those growing pains, you have to grow from it. You have to learn from it. So don't burn the tape. Watch it again, and really marinate in the pain that was this game, because you did it to yourself. You did it to yourself, and you've got to find a way to fix it. Now, the great news here is I get frustrated. I'll just be totally transparent. I get frustrated with the doom and gloom, and I'm very clearly frustrated with this game. The team is going to be a good team. Like, they have all the talent that they need. Matt LaFleur is a great coach. Don't let one game, you know, and I know there's been, you know, some other opportunities here and there. He's a fantastic coach. They will get this cleaned up. This has sort of been Matt's MO from time to time, as they, you know, kind of figure that situation out, and then they kind of go on a little bit of a run. They'll need to do that in the second half of the season. But this team is figuring out ways to beat themselves. And now if they can overcome that and actually stop beating themselves, take all of that effort and energy and put it towards beating the other team, man, this would be a pretty damn good team. And I still think they will very much get there. There's too much talent, too much smart people in this building, and just a team that should and will, in my opinion, go out and play much better football through the remainder of this year. I'm not making an excuse, and I think you guys can probably tell that based on how I've started this episode today. I'm not making an excuse for Green Bay at all. That needs to be better than what we saw today. Just, I can't have a game like that. Just can't do it. Not in a game of that magnitude. But I will say, that was about one of the weirdest, wonkiest first halves of a season. It's not completely unheard of, right? Like some other teams have been way more banged up than Green Bay and whatever. But like, Green Bay never got into a rhythm in that first half of the season, because mostly due to the Love injuries, right? You just tell it. And still learning a new defense and figuring out how to integrate some of these players on offense. There are too many players that are still not playing to the level that they need to play to. This team as a whole, as individuals and as a team, needs to play better. With this loss to Detroit, they now have two losses in the division, both to Detroit and Minnesota, both at home. They are now two games behind Detroit. And Minnesota obviously won again. They're a game behind Minnesota, and they lose the tiebreaker right now to both of those teams. They'll get another chance at both, but it's going to be on the road. In all likelihood, this really makes it difficult for Green Bay to win the division. They could go on a really great run. they're going to have to probably maybe only lose one game the remainder of the season, and it probably needs to be certainly a non-division game. And they're going to have to figure that out somehow, because they're going to have to get those NFC wins and certainly those NFC North wins. But in all likelihood, they probably don't win the division, which gets them to the number five seed. And as the number five seed, we know, you know the path. Three road games in the playoffs against very good football teams. Green Bay has not shown the ability to play four quarters consistently in order to hoist that Lombardi trophy. I know some of you are already rolling your eyes and saying, you know, basically Jim Mora playoffs or Super Bowl, like, can we just put a good game together first? You're not wrong. That's what I'm saying. Like, they haven't shown the ability to put together a four quarter game, much less four consecutive games, all three on the road to begin with, in all likelihood, in the playoffs, and then to get to a Super Bowl and win that fourth game. That's going to be the task at hand based on how this has gone so far. It's not entirely impossible that they could still win the division, but they're going to have to put a really impressive run together in the second half of the year, including wins against Detroit and Minnesota. So we'll see. It's not over yet. It's not done yet, but I'll go back and say, do not burn the tape. Figure it out. Fix it. You're going to have to, because if this continues, there's a ceiling to what level you can ultimately reach. Hey everyone, as Green Bay gets set to head into their bye week, I always find the week without a game to be one of my favorite times to play Prize Picks. With Prize Picks, you can win up to 100 times your money with as few as four correct picks. And right now, you can sign up and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive that $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Simply put, Prize Picks is the best way to win real money this football season. Which players are going off, which ones aren't, make your picks in fewer than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Patrick Mahomes against Denver, Russell Wilson against Washington, and CJ Stroud to bounce back huge against Detroit. The best part is there are a ton of options out there for you to choose from. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after your first $5 play. Prize Picks. Run your game. Hey friends, most people don't tell you that one of the hardest parts of becoming an adult is trying to actually kickstart your credit. Young adults get set up with credit cards so early, and so many people immediately start to accumulate debt as they begin their college careers. I know that's exactly what happened to me. That is why I wish Kickoff was around when I was in credit trouble. I absolutely love Kickoff because of its simplicity and, most importantly, because of its results. Here's how simple it is. You make one-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows. And as far as those results, users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 28 points in the first month. And what's even better, you can sign up in minutes from your phone, and there's no credit check, and you can cancel at any time. Kickoff is the number one credit building app out there and has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Build your credit fast with Kickoff. Get your first month for a dollar. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C. Get KIKOFF.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 28-point increase in first month based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0. Changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. Let's talk about Jordan Love. 23 of 39, 273 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. I talked in the live postgame show, for those of you who were in it, and I said, and when I did the live postgame show, I prefaced it by saying, didn't get to do a rewatch, didn't get to do an all 22, didn't get to do anything. It was just literally me being at the game in the press box. So just live, immediate reactions, right? My initial impression of the pick six from Jordan, from what I saw when I like saw it live, looked up on the TV screen to try to catch the replay as best I could. There's an angle of it that they kind of show from the end zone angle. And from Jordan's, it looked like from Jordan's point of view that the safety was obstructed maybe by Zach Tom, and he goes to throw it, and then Joseph pops out, picks it off, and takes it to the house. I'll say what I said in the post-game show, and I really truly believe this. If that were the case, if Jordan's rolling right, looks up, sees a clear path, no Kirby Joseph because he's obstructed by Zach Tom. Zach Tom is just literally dwarfing Kirby Joseph, and Kirby Joseph can't be seen. Josh Jacobs is there. Josh Jacobs puts his arm up saying, throw me the ball, and he throws to Jacobs, and then Joseph's like, ha-ha, pops out behind Zach Tom, picks it off, takes it to the house. I have no problem with that from Jordan Love's standpoint. What are you supposed to do? Just not take the check down in case somebody might be randomly lurking behind Zach Tom? What are you supposed to do in that situation? However, that was not the case. Went back, got the All-22, watched it on All-22, posted it on my Twitter if you want to go view it, at AndyHermanNFL. It's an awful decision. It's an awful decision. It's an awful throw. Now, Jordan in his post-game presser said he did not see Kirby Joseph, but also added that the ball did not go where he wanted it to go. And that is very much true. If you go back and watch it, Jacobs is flaring out to his right and he needs to throw it to the right. And somehow it goes to the left. It's a very bad throw. On top of that, I do think that there is a way, maybe even if you don't see Joseph, to understand that Jacobs was picking up Joseph in the first place, or picking up somebody in the first place, and that somebody could theoretically be in that vicinity. And beyond that, if Jacobs catch, let's say Kirby Joseph's not even there and Jacobs catches that, there are two guys waiting there right there for him. And everything's a little bit muddled in that area anyway. That's definitely one where you probably just need to throw it in the ground or throw it away. And again, we usually say, live to see another down. I've been, definitely more understanding, I think, of Jordan's interception so far in the year than most. I think some of them are cost of doing business. I think some of them are victim of circumstance or just really good plays by the defense. I think there were three up until this point that were really poor decisions. The pick six previously against the Titans in that game? Or I don't know if it was the Titans. Either way, the pick six in that game. No, it was the Rams. Pick six against the Rams. And then you had the interception to Christian Watson over the middle, and then the Dontavian Wicks interception down the field where he just threw it up for grabs with basically the game on the line. Those are three brutal, really bad decisions. But those are the three. All the other ones I could at least understand, get to some extent. And obviously, the Bo Melton one where Melton just fell down, not his fault at all. This, to me, is now the fourth. That is very much a very poor decision, bad throw, etc. But we're also getting to the point where it's becoming a trend. 10 interceptions, hasn't even started two of the games. In fact, has missed 2.5 of the games, right? And 10 picks is a lot. And regardless of cost of doing business or not cost of doing business, job 1A as QB1 is to take care of the ball. And you have to be careful. You don't want to neuter Jordan Love to the point where, again, he's seen ghosts or he's just checked down Charlie or whatever the case may be, where you take away that playmaking ability. There's a fine line. There's a fine line. And a lot of quarterbacks have to walk that. Patrick Mahomes, to some extent, has been walking it this season and trying to figure that out. Josh Allen has made a career out of trying to figure out a way to walk that line. Same with Brett Favre. And for the most part, a lot of these times, even in games where Jordan's made a bad mistake, he's made enough big plays where it's all right, that at least helps, right? I'm not saying it completely absolves, but it helps a lot. But in this one, couldn't make enough of those big plays. Now, his receivers didn't always do the best job of helping him out, but that's the other thing too. We're also now talking about a quarterback that's at a 61.3% completion percentage. And that needs to get picked up quite a bit, partially again due to some of the receiver drops, no question about it. But that needs to improve. Touchdown to interception ratio needs to improve. And he's got to do a better job of taking care of the ball. And there are two big plays in this game. Listen, I would put both of these on the receiver more than I would put it on Jordan. But you've got a play to Chris Brooks, where if you put that in front of Brooks, it's probably a touchdown, or it's definitely a first down, right? Probably a touchdown. Should Brooks have still caught it? No question about it whatsoever. But can Love put that in a much better spot? Hell yeah. Dontavian Wicks is touchdown. Does Dontavian Wicks, without a question, need to catch that pass? Absolutely. Could that be put in front of him so it's a much easier play? No question about it. And those accuracy issues are certainly at play here too with Jordan. So definitely not a good game from Jordan. No two ways around it. Not what you would expect or want from him. Now, very clearly needs to be a part of this conversation that he's not 100%. He's just not. He's gotten through it. I still think it was the right decision to start him. I thought he looked good enough to play in this game. Like after the first half where he was kind of limping a little bit after the play right before the end of the half where they ran out of time. Like that was the only time I really saw him kind of gimping around or, you know, anything like that. I thought for the most part, he looked very like not the most spry. Of course, he's not like sprinting everywhere or anything, but he looked mobile enough. And it looked like he was very clearly able to get through this game and, you know, not have any major issues throwing the ball. Just thought it needed to be better. And again, I do think the injuries have played a part. I think even just missing practice, not getting all those reps, not getting in rhythm with his offense, I think that stuff definitely starts to affect you. I think Jordan's going to be totally fine in the second half of the year, but he does need to play better. It is a very fair assessment. A 61.3% completion percentage with a 1.5, you know, touchdown to interception ratio, 1.5 to 1, that's not going to get it done. So Jordan does have to clean it up. No two ways about it. The overall accuracy can be a little bit concerning, you know, concerning as well. They'll find that line. I really, truly believe so. They'll figure it out. Jordan's aware of it. Matt's aware of it. Like everyone's aware of it. They'll figure that out. But I don't think you want to completely take that out of them either. They just got to find that line. This is not good. And this one definitely, I in the post game, I was ready to kind of defend him and say, hey, I think that's one of those that is just a great play by the defense or, you know, wrong throw at the wrong time, whatever, but that was a bad throw. It's a bad throw. It's a bad decision. There was nothing really to gain there. It's one that Jordan needs to, again, figure out, improve upon, and he will. I really, truly believe he will. Some other offensive notes. Let's go through the mistakes here because I think this is noteworthy. This was drive one. You had the Nixon penalty on the return, a Josh Jacobs false start, and then the Brooks drop, right? Three big mistakes on that first drive. The result ended up in 3 points, should have probably been 7 right then and there. Drive two, you're in 3rd and 3 at like the 31-yard line on the opposite side. Sean Ryan, false start. You get to 3rd and 8, incomplete pass, ends up in a punt. Huge Sean Ryan penalty there. Drive three, you've got a Jordan Morgan holding penalty, a Romeo Doubs false start, a Tucker Kraft drop, and a missed field goal. That's drive three. Result is 0 points. Should have at least had 3 on that drive. Drive four, Jordan Love pick 6, net negative 7 points on that drive. Drive five is the end of half, run out of time. Drive six, on 3rd down, Dontavian Wicks drops a pass. Result is a punt, a 3 and out. Drive seven, Love missed the throw to Watson. Love missed the throw to Watson. This is the one that was coming over in the flat and Love just missed him. And then bad snap. They get a field goal out of it. Should have probably been better. Drive eight, Zach Tom false start. Watson misjudged the deep throw down the field. Bad snap. Wicks drops a touchdown, stuffed on 4th and 1. Should have had 7 on that drive or 8 if they went for 2 and instead get 0. Drive nine, guess what happens? No mistakes. Guess what happens? Touchdown and 2-point conversion. It took until the final drive of the game, drive nine, until they finally decided, hey, maybe we shouldn't make some dumb mistake on this drive. And then guess what happened? They scored a touchdown. Like it's the self-inflicted wounds. It's their own mistakes. They continue to beat themselves at some of the most inopportune times. Again, some other offensive notes, Jaden Reed, 5 catches, 113 yards. Another really nice day for him. The throw from Love to Reed with that little back shoulder on a 4th down. Whew, that was an unbelievable throw. Still seeing some of those things from Jordan, but the offense as a whole needs to be far more consistent. The Chris Brooks drop, I know a lot of people upset of like, what's Chris Brooks? Chris Brooks has been really good since he got here. Like really good. He's caught the ball well. He's pass protected incredible. He's run the ball well. You could make an argument that was like his first like real negative play as a member of the Green Bay Packers. He's been earning those reps and he's looked really good over the course of the last few weeks. And in pass pro, he's been awesome. And they get the look that they want. He runs a good route and he just drops it. And it's partially behind him too. But do I put that on Brooks? Yeah, you got to find a way to catch that. But we're talking about literally like the first mistake that he's made. That there's no, like, you know, in hindsight, sure, you know, he dropped it. So you'd love anyone else in that spot. But he's earned those reps as a 3rd down back because of his pass protection, because of his ability to catch out of the backfield. I would keep using him there. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Saw people upset that he was in. Nah, he's been good so far. This is really first mistake, and it's a sucky one, right? Got to find a way to make that catch. But other than that, he's been really, really good for Green Bay in the amount of snaps that he's been given so far. Dontavian Wicks drops continues to be a major issue. Drops the first down, drops the touchdown. I'm not sure. I think at this point, until that gets figured out and you get him a little bit more confidence, I think you kind of take Bo Melton and move him up a spot right now. Like Bo Melton needs to be your four. And you guys know I love Dontavian Wicks. But he can't catch right now. Like those are two massive drops in this game. Two massive drops. Makes you punt, makes you go three and out on a drop, and then takes 7 points off the board because of a drop. That's rough. Very, very rough. Thought overall the offensive line had a nice day, despite Green Bay having to throw a ton in the second half and Jordan not being maybe the most mobile as he usually is. No sacks allowed, two hits, and they ran, the run blocking was much better. Like they gave Josh Jacobs some of those opportunities early in the game. Emmanuel Wilson a couple, Chris Brooks a couple. I wish they had Chris Jones. Chris Brooks a couple. But yeah, I thought they were like overall nice day on the offensive line. We'll see what the All-22 says, but at first glance, thought they had a pretty nice day and just Green Bay couldn't take advantage of it outside of the penalties, right? Penalties were brutal. And then Elgton Jenkins with the bad snaps was also absolutely brutal. And in fact, I thought at some point they were going to say Jacob Monk or Sean Ryan or somebody else do this because it was that bad. Defensive performance in this one was tougher to judge. 24 points on the scoreboard, but seven of those were the pick six. So your defense only allows 17 points. I don't know of anyone that would have said if the Packers defense could only allow 17 in this one that you wouldn't have signed up for it. That's not a bad performance. However, here's how it went. They score a touchdown on their opening drive. Then they punt. Then they get a field goal. Then they get a touchdown. And by the time they get that final touchdown, it's now 24-3 Detroit. Now, the rest of the day, they go punt, 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 end of game. But even in that end of game, when Green Bay is trying to desperately get the football back, Detroit just moves the ball and is easily able to move it downfield and not allow Green Bay ever to get the ball back. So I didn't think this was a great performance by the defense. When they needed some of those stops, they really couldn't get them. I think Detroit, again, was more often willing to maybe sacrifice some production in the second half just to make sure they were taking care of the ball, trying to run out the clock a little bit more. It was probably the right decision. Green Bay showed no ability to kind of throw themselves back in that game. And if they did, I think Detroit would have had an answer for it at some point. So I thought, Detroit's offense wasn't great, but I didn't think Packers' defense was great either. They made a couple plays here or there. You love the Aaron Mosby and Rashawn Gary sack. Now, Penei Sewell did get tripped up on the play by Kevin Zeitler, but it was still a nice play by Mosby and Gary on the other side. But no turnovers, still some missed tackles. And, really only the one sack that was split between, Gary and Mosby on that play. Enigbari had the big tackle for loss, but that was basically in garbage time. It wasn't a bad performance by the defense, but I think had Detroit needed to be a bit more aggressive, I wonder if they would have been able to hold up. And when it really felt like Green Bay needed to get a stop, it did not feel like they could totally get one. But I don't really put this on the defense. To me, as much at least, to me, this was much more of an offensive issue in this game. I mentioned those fourth downs earlier. Fourth downs played a major role in this game. Packers go down fourth and five from Detroit's 12-yard line after the Brooks drop. They decide to kick a field goal. They don't go aggressive. They decide we're going to take the 3 points. Right or wrong, I don't know, but they decide not to be aggressive on that spot. Lions get in almost an identical situation, fourth and five, right? And they decide to go for it, get the false start, get the jump off sides. They get it fourth and three, and Goff throws a touchdown to Amon Ross St. Brown. Big difference there in outcomes on fourth down, a 4-point swing for Detroit. Packers don't go for it from fourth and eight on Detroit's 37-yard line. Instead, they take the delay of game penalty and then punt. Interesting decision there. They don't go for it on fourth and six from Detroit's 28-yard line. They miss that field goal. Then Lions go for it on fourth and one from Green Bay's 15, and they score a touchdown. And then Packers have a fourth and one from the Lions' 9, and they can't get it. Fourth downs played an unbelievable role in this game. Detroit was great at it. Green Bay most certainly was not. Special teams, Brandon McManus misses a field goal. Not ideal, although there is some conditions in this one, and that's his first miss. So willing to give a little bit of accident forgiveness there, but not what you really want to see at this point. Daniel Whelan had two punts inside the 20, which was great. You had two penalties on returns, which is just, yeah, got to find a way to clean that stuff up. And then the one really fun one, Edgerrin Cooper was at Gunner on a play. And he got down there, he drew a penalty and was immediately there to cover the returner. I mean, what an unbelievable freak athlete that guy is. That was one of the cooler moments. I don't know if anyone else caught it too much, but yeah, Edgerrin Cooper flying down there on punt coverage as a gunner of all things. That was pretty sweet. As far as an injury standpoint goes, Colby Wooden did have a injury. I'd have to go back and see. I didn't see him return, but I wasn't exactly looking for Colby Wooden closely, but he was questionable to return originally with a shoulder injury. So we'll keep an eye on that one over the next couple of weeks, but we probably won't know for a while yet with Green Bay having the bye week coming up. As far as the NFC North went on the day, Bears lost, Vikings won against Indianapolis, and then of course the Lions beat Green Bay. So a 2-2 day in the division, Packers and Bears lose, Vikings and Lions win. If the season were to end today, Green Bay would currently own the 7 seed in the playoffs. So not only the 5, but the actual 7 seed. And there are only 5 teams in the NFC who have a losing record. So buckle up. Dallas, New York, Carolina, New Orleans, and Seattle. Only 5 teams that have a losing record in the NFC. So there's going to be a very interesting second half of the season for everyone involved in the NFC, and all those games are going to be massive, just absolutely massive week in and week out. Bye week coming up, Green Bay's got to find a way to grow, get better, clean up the mistakes, hold each other accountable. I went into this game saying, hey, just do your job, do your 111th. Don't try to make it too big. Don't try to do too much. Just make sure you're not making the mistakes. And then Green Bay proceeded to make all of the mistakes. I do think one of the hard parts of this is there's not like one player that's like this crazy repeat offender. There's not, it's just everyone, like Romeo Doubs, Josh Jacobs jumping off sides or having a false start. You know, Jordan Morgan's got a holding penalty. Keyshawn Nixon gets in on unsportsmanlike conduct. Like it's all over the place. The drops are different players. Like it's one thing. Wicks is the one, right? Where you've seen a couple big drops over and over. Like that's the one where you have to have a conversation now. Is this the guy that we want in the game? Despite his unbelievable route running ability and ability to get open, doesn't matter much if he can't catch. I still love Wicks. I think he's going to have a good career, but got to find a way to get that together. And if right now you need to go Melton until he does, totally understand it. But this bye week, have to find a way to improve. Disappointing game. No two ways around it. Green Bay's going to have to find a way to grow from this one. And if they can, this can still be a positive for Green Bay. They can learn from this. They can get better. We'll see if they can make that second half run like they did at the end of last season. That's what they're going to need to do. Put it all together, be better, make bigger plays, and then take the big errors away from your game. And if they can do that, this team can still be a fantastic football team. I think they can still win this thing. I really do. That might sound crazy after this one. I'm not trying to be a homer with rose-tinted glasses. I think they have the talent. It's going to take something special. They're going to have to play better collectively. I think Matt will get them focused, refocused, on the right page. I think they'll hold each other accountable. It's a team that really likes to win. When they come off losses like this, they usually bounce back. They're going to have a big opportunity to bounce back against Chicago. Remaining schedule is tough. They're going to have to be on their A game if they want to finish the season strong and try to get anything besides a 5-6-7 seed. And just the playoffs in and of itself are going to be difficult with how many good teams there are in this conference right now. So Green Bay's got a fight ahead of them. They're going to get a bye week, and then it's time to finish the season strong. And that's where I want to see them go. Let's learn from this one. Let's make it better. And if they can do that, all right, they can live with this loss a little bit more. But if we start seeing the same stupid mistakes going against Chicago and through the remainder of the season, it's going to be a long rest of the season because Green Bay is not going to reach the destination that they want to reach if they can't stop making those simple mistakes. All right, shout out to our new members, Alex Boyer, Sethery, Sam Villabose, Thomas Phillips, Caleb Isham, MultiBrad777, Turner Hoffman, Puns and Buns, Barbie D, Sorelio Kennedy, Adam Wyart, Adon Dominguez, Scott Graham, Nathan Tucker, Life of Mary Podcast, Stephen Buckty, Bryant Barstad, Nathan Carls, Mike Grant, and Jerome Medina. Thank you all so much for signing up. Of course, make sure to check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships. I will be back here tomorrow with Justice Mosqueda. So make sure to check that out. I'm also going to try to do a trade deadline video going over some players that Green Bay could target or maybe even trade away from their own roster. So we'll go through a trade deadline primer at some point in the next 24 hours here. So keep an eye out for that as well. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan. PJ Wayne, John Wild, Shea Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boomhandle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Ataka, SoCal Pack, Dan Gesford, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Love and Football, and Puerto Rican Packer. I'll say it one more time. Breathe, Packer fans. A lot of season left. They'll grow from this. They'll learn from this. They will get better. I really, truly believe that. This can still be a special team, but they're going to have to start figuring out why these mistakes keep happening, correct them, and move forward. And if they can do that, and they can stop beating themselves, they are going to be a very difficult team to play. But it starts with Green Bay. It ends with Green Bay. They've got to be a much better version of themselves than they were at any point in time against this game against Detroit. And they're going to have to show that through the remainder of this season. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. As I mentioned, I'll be right back here tomorrow with Justice. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.